explain why I am out of uniform, and it's because I had shoulder surgery on Monday, and so this wing isn't working, and you should have, if you all thought plead gymnastics was hard, you should have watched the gymnastics in my room putting this jacket on earlier today. It's great to be here, and it's great to have all the academies represented, and that this isn't just a forum for women, because I really do think, I think somebody said it, and I'll get it all wrong, Janet, I know you said that other thing about Becky, but it's really great to have men and women here, because the message, at least my message, is the same regardless of what uniform you wear. So I too am from the great class of 81, along with a number of my classmates here, Georgette and Lou and Chris and Dina and Janet and Becky in spirit. And I was in Hawaii working. I was there for a month, and you're thinking, yeah, right, and I really was. And I am never on Facebook, and I just don't do it. But I get all the messages on my email that, you know, somebody has friended me or unfriended me or has done something, and Bill Buck and Dina, I think, both sent me a message that it just kind of shows up in my email that I have a message, and I can sort of kind of read it. And it says that there's this thing happening on the 15th of November in Boston, and could you come? And I'm taking a flight tonight to Romania to speak at a multinational conference on ballistic missile defense. And I thought, let's see, I'm in Huntsville, Alabama at the Missile Defense Agency. I could probably swing Huntsville somehow to Boston, somehow to Romania, and still get there by tomorrow afternoon, and it all works out. So I just as long as my wing makes it, and I've already been scolded that I should be wearing a sling just so people know that it's wounded, so they don't, you know, hug me hard. So let me tell you, I kind of want to talk just the way that the Admiral did. A little bit about me, and it's all about you. And it's so funny because I think a lot of us are going, yeah, that's what I would say, and that's what I would say, and I would show all those movies from NASA, because I do what she does, but we blow stuff up, because I'm the director for TESS for the Missile Defense Agency, and I just, last week we had a couple of successful tests where launching a target that goes into the exo-atmosphere, launching an SM-3, so I know about being about SWOs, and it was off of the John Paul Jones, and watching the intercept in the exo-atmosphere, making sure you don't hit any satellites or the space station or anything else, not just for the flight of the target and the interceptor, but also of the debris, and we take that very seriously, and so that's what we did last week, and it was really fascinating. Okay, a little bit about my background. From El Paso, Texas. You can notice the very thick Texas draw I have. My father was a World War II and Korean War veteran. My mother was a Red Cross volunteer in China before World War II, and then after World War II, she met my dad in Germany when she was Special Services. So that kind of is the parents that I have who believe in giving and serving their country, even though my mom served it in two different uniforms and not in the military. And I have, there are six kids, I'm number five. My oldest sister is a retired colonel, doctor from the Army. Twin brothers, one's a retired colonel from the Air Force. We talk to them occasionally. His twin is a retired lieutenant colonel, Army. I have a sister who's normal. And then there's me, and then my little sister is an active duty Army nurse colonel stationed at Fort Leavenworth at the hospital there. She's the chief nurse there, and I had the privilege of promoting her last year to the rank of colonel, which was really, really pretty cool. I was somebody who really enjoyed my 4 years at West Point. and my grade point average reflected it, and so did my branch selection. So I wanted to be, I thought, a MI officer. Dina wore stars, I wore the other star. Yes, I went to summer school one time and realized that it really wreaked havoc with my fun in the summer, so I learned my lesson. But I wasn't high enough in my class to branch military intelligence, and so the next best thing that I thought I would enjoy was air defense artillery. I had two goals when I graduated from West Point, and it was to, one, to branch transfer as fast as humanly possible, and I enrolled in the MI advanced course as soon as I graduated from the air defense basic course, and two, to get out after 5 years. And what I normally tell people is, I'm a total failure. I've been an air defender my entire time, and I've been in now for 33 and a half years or so. So I didn't meet either one of those goals. But I will tell you that it has been an exciting ride, and I only have 20 minutes, and I probably only have five left, and somebody is keeping watch here. But I could tell you stories about being a Army officer in Germany on a Hawk tactical site with live missiles during the Cold War, where you see on your scopes and you see the aircraft that are about to come across the inter-German border, and you see the fighters going after them, and then we're the next step. I can tell you stories about that. I can tell you stories about being one of very few women in air defense back in the early 80s. And you were right. I'm the senior woman combat arms officer in the Army. And I've been a lot of the first this and the first that, and it's only because it just hadn't happened before me. And I'm very thankful and blessed that it's happened during my lifetime, that I've had the opportunities that I've had, because I had men who I work for who saw something in me and helped to continue to encourage in me to do the best that I possibly could every step along the way without stepping on others. And I think it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you hold that philosophy, if you're doing it to be the best you, not the best, you know, you're going to be the next this person, I don't know what that is. Just like I've been asked, what does it feel like to be a female two-star? As opposed to what, a male two-star? I don't know. I've only been me, and I only know what it means and what it feels like to be me. So that's why I say the message is the same, to do your best all the time, and remember a couple of things. I still have a couple of minutes, right? Okay. You're going to be challenged. Don't think you won't. You're going to be challenged. Your values are going to be challenged. Your morals are going to be challenged. If you sacrifice them once, shame on you. Don't ever do it. And I guarantee you, somebody is going to challenge you. And I wish that I could tell you that I haven't been challenged, but I have. And it started when I was a lieutenant. Sacrifice them once, you'll sacrifice them again. So don't do it. Hold the moral high ground. Somebody talked about trust earlier. I was invited to a conference in Germany to talk about trust and about leadership. Trust is as simple as coming to an intersection, four-way stop, and everybody stops. Trust is that people are going to react and act in a predictable manner, that the person in front of you who's making a right-hand turn and has her turn signal on, in most states, not all, will make that right-hand turn. And it's a predictable behavior. I'm a brigade commander in 2003. I inherit a unit from another brigade commander. I trusted that the soldiers I inherited were trained. Nine of them were killed, all from that unit. They weren't trained. Trust can also cause the death of somebody. So it's as simple or not. I guarantee you, I never trusted that another commander gave me trained soldiers. I trained them my own damn self and made sure that I had the time to do that. Trust. It's really important. There are two different types of leaders, and the one that I think is the most effective is the impactful leader. And that's the leader who inspires, by his or her actions, their soldiers to do things that they never ever thought that they could. Not because of an or else stick, not because they're worried about the consequences, but because they want to do, they want to be, they want to grow, they want to do these things. Be that impactful leader. Every one of you can be that impactful leader. Be that person. Inspire those people that are working for you, whether it's on land or ship or in space, whatever it may be, inspire them. Be that impactful leader. Everyone has a story. And I think Emily might have talked about that earlier. Everyone's got a story. Listen to the people who work for you. Get to know them. I try to walk around all the time because I know that everyone's got a story. Not just that, you know, hi ma'am, how you doing? And you walk by them and you take 5 seconds to say good morning. No, stop. Find out what's going on. I sat all day yesterday in a pay pool, which is trying to figure out the bonuses and the raises for the employees who work for me. The very first person got a score of a -5. And I'm sitting there going, what? How did he get a -5? Show me the, you know, sound like a second lieutenant. Show me the counseling statement. Show me the mid-year. The mid-year, the person was fantastic. And I said, really? What happened? Well, we don't know, but we all agree it should be a -5. No, there's a story behind this individual. If there is, there's something more to this. If there is, his behavior reflects this, then I want to see him because I want to find out the story behind that individual. Everyone's got a story. One of the guys who works for me wrote the smile as big as the smile as big as the moon. He wrote that. He's a guy that works. He's an analyst. I mean, people are people, and they all have a story. Find the stories in the people who work for you. In mentoring, you know, and I walked in on Jeff when you were talking a little bit at the very end of your session. I agree with you. I think we use mentoring, the word mentoring, in a lot of different ways and probably a lot of ways that are wrong. I try to encourage folks. I try to be a role model for everybody, not just women, but for everybody. And I mentor quite a few individuals who have sought me out, and we have a special relationship in that I am there to help them, to encourage them, and to make them grow, to force them out of their comfort zone, and to get them to go and do other assignments where they're going to grow and they're going to learn and thrive. But it's a two-way street. It's a two-way relationship between me and that individual, and I encourage you to seek somebody out that is your senior raider. My senior raider is going to be my mentor. I'm going to go seek out my raider to be my mentor. Seek out somebody that you resonate with, that there's some connection between the two of you, so you truly have this relationship that will last for a very long time. And for the folks in the other uniform, before you get into this one, remember the officers and the instructors that you guys have. Periodically send them a note. Tell them how you're doing, especially once you graduate and you're out there. I am so thrilled when I get letters from former cadets. It makes me feel really old when they're commanding battalions and commanding brigades. And I'm going, let's see, I've been promoted, like, you know, I used to count. I've been promoted 3 times, and this person has already been promoted. You know, it takes a long time to go from captain to major, because I was a TAC officer at West Point, because they didn't read my file. But I get thrilled when I get those letters from folks to say, I'm commanding a battalion, and or they'll write me and say, you know, you were really hard on me, and I really thank you for that. And they'll tell you something that they learned from you. So think about that. I mean, reach out to folks. It's not hard. reach out to folks and pay it back. And so there was a gal, I don't recall your name, I'm sorry.
Tara?
Yeah. So the last thing I'm going to say is, so I had the pleasure to talk with some folks at lunch today. She's the first woman to go to West Point from her high school. She didn't even know a gal who's now a plebe when she was a senior in high school, and now she's a yearling, and that gal is a plebe. She didn't know her at all, but once she got into West Point, once she realized what it was doing for her, she did the same for this gal, and that gal is one of their star soccer players, as I understand it. Pay it back. And pay it forward and reach out and bring people into the best doggone profession there is. Because it is an elite group, it really, really is, of folks who can serve our country. And I do thank every one of you all, because we all have choices. And we can choose, we all could have chosen to do something else. But thank you for going to the academy. Thank you once you left the academy to do something else. I am just always amazed. I never had the brains to do anything out of the uniform. I don't know what I'll do when I finally have to. But I'm always amazed at my classmates who have succeeded doing other things. But I do thank you very much for raising your hand on that field, wherever you were, and to say that you would support and defend your Constitution, because it really means something. Thank you.